I love almost everything that Blue Note put out back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Jackie McLean, recording artist on Blue Note. I'm not a big fan of alto saxophone. Sorry if I'm offending any alto saxophonists out there. I prefer tenor and baritone, but I really like Jackie McLean, and he's an alto saxophonist. Oh, there are other exceptions, of course. Dusty Foot, we heard. Jackie McLean from the album Vertigo. Prior to that, interesting new album, self-titled, by the Ursa Major Moving Group. We heard a track called Requiem for a Customer. Michael Wolff and Impure Thoughts covering John Coltrane's A Love Supreme from an album called Dangerous Vision. My name's Irwin. This is WFMU. I'll be back next Wednesday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. You are invited to stay tuned to 7 Second Delay. It's not a live show, but it is a new show. It's a pre-recorded show that Ken will introduce momentarily. See you next week. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Greetings, 7 Second Delay fans. Tonight, a new episode of 7 Second Delay that Andy and I recorded with a pair of WFMU 7 Second Delay listeners a couple of weeks ago. Another in our series of listeners giving me and Andy quizzes. Tonight, we bring you Adam from Edgewater, quizzing us on presidents and pop culture. And then Christina from Highland Park, New Jersey, quizzing us on accounting and actuarial maneuvers. These are both almost half an hour long, so let's get started. Adam is with us.
Yes.
Hi, hey, Adam.
Hello.
Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Andy.
Hi, Andy. Nice to meet you.
I'm Ken. I'm Ken, Adam, and we are already recording, although we haven't really begun yet.
Okay.
And I don't have a camera, so that's why I have no camera.
Okay.
Ken looks like your Uncle Leo. I don't know what Ken looks like. He looks like everybody's Uncle Leo. Adam, where are you calling from?
I live in Edgewater, New Jersey.
Oh, perfect. Okay, you're not far from us.
No, just up the road.
And you have a relationship with WFMU that goes back a few years?
I've been listening to FMU for probably about 20 years.
You know, there are other stations. There's a dial on your radio.
I know. It just doesn't really work too well, and I'm kind of stuck listening to it. But and probably have been listening to 7 Second Delay for half that time. I didn't discover it right away. But
what were your first thoughts when you first heard it?
It was random. I recognized you, Ken. I didn't recognize Andy, and I asked a friend of mine who's a FMU listener about the show, and she told me, Margaret, who Andy was, and that you created the show Monk, and she kind of looked at me as an idiot that I didn't know who you were or didn't know about the show. And I've been a loyal listener.
Tell me more about this woman, Margaret. She sounds fascinating.
She is a good friend of mine, and
known
her a long time.
Well, send her my love.
Andy sounds like he has kind of a crush on Margaret.
I'll find out if Margaret will reciprocate, but I think Andy is taken.
I'm very married, and Ken is too. I'm as married as a man could be.
I thought you were polyamorous, Andy.
Polyamorous?
Yeah.
Wait, just remind me, what does that mean?
It means you go out with women named Polly or Margaret. Or Beth.
Yeah. I'll do anything with any woman named Polly. Polyamorous. Adam, what do you do for a living? And is that, does the quiz that you're about to ask us, is it related to your job?
It definitely does not. I used to be a freelance website developer for many years. I actually kind of retired 5 years ago, so I'm not really doing anything. I thought it was going to be more of a sabbatical, and it's just kind of turned into more of a permanent thing. So
well-timed with the pandemic.
I was probably not working for about a year and a half before the pandemic, and I'm pretty happy I had nothing to do during that time.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? How do you fill your days now?
That's a really good question. I have hobbies. When it's nice out, I play a lot of tennis. I do a lot of reading. I've had a hobby for the last 5 or 6 years of learning German. So I spend a lot of time watching videos and reading books and even little projects like this, coming up with questions for an FMU quiz that kept me busy.
What led you to decide to learn German?
I'm sorry to interrupt. We don't care. We don't care about that. Ken, don't I get to trump one question of yours every show?
Yeah, but you usually pay me $5.
I was about to say, do I get the $5 by not telling the story?
What prompted you to want to learn German? How could that be interesting? What answer could you hear?
Well, I know why I am.
Don't tell me why you had a desire to learn German.
It's a really interesting story, actually, why I love the German language.
All right. Let me find something to read while you go ahead.
You can Venmo me $5.
Yeah, done.
Or PayPal me.
So the quiz today that you have in mind, Adam, is not about German. It's not about tennis. It's not about Margaret.
Correct. I would describe it as the intersection between U.S. presidents and pop culture.
Excellent.
TV, music.
I'm good.
I really think you'll find these questions interesting.
I'm good to go. Bill Clinton, saxophone. That's my first guess.
That was a question, and I discarded it for being too easy.
Oh, great. Thank goodness for that. Andy and I have to say buzz, and if we get the answer wrong, it's -1 point, and if we get the answer right, it's +1 point.
And we try to discipline ourselves. We try to wait until you finish asking the question.
Okay.
So if it's multiple choice, let us know that ahead of time.
No multiple choice. There is one or two, I think, that are two-part questions. I think some you'll find easy. Some are a little more difficult. So first question. In 1976, President Ford was offered to host Saturday Night Live during its first season. He refused, but allowed his press secretary to host. What was his name?
Buzz.
Buzz.
Ron Ziegler.
And, I don't have a buzz to say you're wrong, but that's not the right answer.
No, it is Ron. It's Ron something. Gosh darn it. All right, I'm not going to guess.
I think, Ken, you got Nixon's press secretary.
Ah, so close. So who was Ford's press secretary?
Ford's press secretary was Ron Nessen.
Oh, I got half of it.
I also remembered Ron. Oh, that's so funny.
Wow. So did Andy did Andy guess? I got negative one on that.
I'll take a negative one. Okay. I did say Buzz.
Okay.
And just for additional information, Ford did do a cameo. He taped cameos and actually did the Live from New York at Saturday Night.
Really? In 76.
Yes.
Wow.
In 76, and you can find the episode on archive.org.
You remember when Nixon did a cameo on Laugh-In? Andy?
Yeah, sock it to me.
Yeah, sock it to me? He said it like a question.
I researched that one too. And just so you know, it took him 6 takes to do sock it to me.
This is amazing. This is great.
Because he sounded either angry or offended.
I remember as a kid watching that, I was just in shock to see Nixon show up on Laugh-In. My whole family watched Laugh-In every week.
I wonder if there's been a president that has not, that has not ever appeared on Saturday Night Live. Trump did as a candidate, remember? It was controversial.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wonder if there was a president that did not appear.
That's a good question. Yeah. It is not one of the questions I have, though, unfortunately.
We'll just have to wonder about that one.
Okay. Should we take a little break and wonder now?
No. No, let's save up our wondering.
So yeah, we'll bank it.
We can, okay. Yes, bank the wonder, and then we'll wonder about everything all at once.
Okay. So the two things I'm going to wonder about is, why did Adam choose to learn German?
Uh-huh.
And whether every president has appeared on NBC. Okay, ready to roll.
Okay, next question. In 1970, when Elvis Presley arrived at the White House for his infamous meeting with President Nixon, what was the gift he brought the president?
Oh, what a good question. I know all about that meeting, but geez, I have no idea what gift he brought. Do you know, Andy? That was when
I'm
Elvis...
Sure. I certainly know that. I bet if I could remember the famous picture, there's a famous picture, of course.
Yeah.
I wonder if the gift was in the picture. Just tell me that, Adam. Was the gift in that famous photo?
No.
That was such a funny meeting because Elvis was such a drug addict at the time. And, of course, he was meeting Nixon to volunteer his services as an anti-drug agent.
Okay, this is not an official guess, but I have a feeling. Was it a night with Priscilla?
No.
Okay.
I'm ready with a guess. Was it a gold record?
No.
Oh well. But we both get -1.
You both get -1. It was a Colt 45 pistol.
Oh, that's old.
In a display case with silver bullets. He arrived at the White House, and the Secret Service would not let him bring the gun into the Oval Office, but they accepted it on his behalf.
That's right.
Well, because it's for killing werewolves. It's not for killing people.
It's for killing werewolves and presidents, if you know the whole mythology.
Oh, really? Is that where the silver bullet came from?
Yeah.
Is that what John Wilkes Booth used, a silver bullet?
That's what John Hinckley used, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, ready to roll. These are great.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. You clearly put a lot of thought into these questions.
A little too much thought, but I have a lot of free time.
A lot more thought than we're giving to the edge.
Well, you know, Adam, you like to play tennis. Andy has a pickleball court at home, and he's always
real tennis players don't want to discuss pickleball. So,
I couldn't beat a real tennis player. I can only beat children and children and their great great grandparents.
Okay, next question. You all remember on MTV when Bill Clinton was asked by a teenager whether he wore boxers or briefs. What was his answer?
Buzz. I'm going to say boxers.
Whatever he said, he sounded absolutely adorable when he said
it. Yeah.
He gave a two-word answer, usually briefs.
Oh, okay, there it is. Okay,
so Andy gets a negative one, and I get a zero.
And let me just say, when I researched this, I was really just couldn't believe that Clinton couldn't commit to one or the other. He had to say usually briefs.
That's so interesting.
And I don't know if any man, and I have nothing to back this up, alternates between boxers and briefs. I think one commits to one.
Yeah, that's so perceptive. It really is I never inhaled sort of answer.
Exactly.
It's really very interesting.
I went through a period where I was wearing both boxers and briefs.
$5 coming your way.
Okay. How are you sending it? Venmo?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next question.
That's an automatic muscle flex response when every kid starts talking about his underwear.
Okay. At which president's inaugural ball did the Beach Boys, including Brian Wilson, perform the a cappella song, Their Hearts Were Full of Spring?
Buzz.
Damn.
Okay.
George Bush, Bush the First. That's my guess.
That is wrong.
George H.W. Bush. They never would have played early on, so it's not like they, it's not like they would have played there in 69, you know, when Nixon became... This happened at an inauguration, or when did it happen?
It happened at the main inaugural ball in the evening.
Yeah, so it has to be like kind of after Brian recovered, you know, so it's got to be like in the 90s. I'm going to say Obama.
It was Ronald Reagan in 1985.
It wouldn't have been Obama. Obama wouldn't have the Beach Boys. Oh, Barack Obama? The cool president?
You don't think he would have had the Beach Boys?
No, he wouldn't have had the Beach Boys. Remember the controversy, Adam? You might remember. Remember the controversy when the Beach Boys were banned from their summer 4th of July concert one
year? All right, quick question. Not on topic, but it counts. Yeah. Who was the Interior Secretary that banned them?
Oh, because of the B. Great question.
I can only remember one Secretary of the Interior who was Reagan's. That was Watt, James Watt.
It was James Watt.
He spelled it with the silent B. Remember
so what do guy? I what do I get for that? Do I get a plus one?
Take 5 points. Who cares? What do I get for that?
I'll take a plus one.
You take whatever you want, son.
And I do recommend looking it up on YouTube. It's a short performance, and it's in 85, and the harmonies were like they were 20 years earlier. It's a beautiful a cappella.
What song were they doing?
Their Hearts Were Full of Spring. I don't know if that's a Beach Boys song.
I think that might be a four freshman or something.
Okay, so I have a related question. At which president's inaugural ball did James Brown perform Say It Loud, I'm Black, and I'm Proud?
There's Obama. Your Barack Obama, baby.
We both said Obama.
I would say Obama.
It was Richard Nixon in 1969.
We both get negative one. And so Andy, we're both racist.
Yep.
So
that's our excuse. That's why we don't know this.
Yeah.
James
it's not like
Brown,
we don't have an excuse. How can we be expected to know when James Brown performed if we're both racist?
Speaking of incredibly stoned musicians who went to the White House.
So he did support Humphrey in the 68 election, but later explained that he wanted to give the new president a chance. It was one of the many inaugural balls, and Nixon did not attend for security reasons. I think that part is the racism part.
He didn't attend for security. I'm trying to think of that. Was that the inaugural ball in January of 1970?
69 it would be.
Oh, that's right. It would have been 69. Yeah.
Yeah. But they have multiple.
But how could he claim security reasons?
Well,
in, uh,
68, you know, a lot of people got killed in 68.
Oh, wait a minute, but he's in the wasn't it on the White House grounds?
No, it was a separate event during the week.
Was that a hotel or something? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, you know, 68 was quite the year, so we can give him a pass for being a little paranoid in January of 69.
So this next question, it was actually one of my two favorite questions that I didn't know, and it's a two-part question. Which member of the Beatles was the first to visit the White House, and which president did he meet? And of course, it's in honor of the release of Now and Then, which I know both of you just adore that new song. So
I can't get it out of my head. Oh, wait,
Don't ask me to sing it.
I misspoke. I can't get it into my head. I'm going to say Ringo visited.
Now, it didn't have to be during.
During while they were before
correct.
Before they broke up. So, okay, so it could have been the 70s then. Okay, so early 70s. Was it something like maybe Ringo had like a pet cause and he wanted to talk to Nixon?
Well, George was always politically active.
Well, that's why you would think George would not be the guy. I would say Ringo.
I'm going to say George.
It's so counterintuitive.
I'm going to say George.
Okay. It was George Harrison.
Yes.
And he met Gerald Ford in December of 1974. So Gerald Ford's son, Jack, befriended George after a concert and invited him to the White House. And George showed up with his father, Ravi Shankar, and Billy Preston.
Wow.
Wow.
And there are photos online, and I would absolutely urge you to look at the photos. They're amazing.
I know all four guests showed up with pistols and golden bullets.
Silver bullets, Andy.
Yeah, because they thought that was the tradition.
Well, they did exchange gifts at the end of the meeting. Ford presented George with a Whip Inflation Now button.
Oh, my God, fantastic.
I remember those.
Yeah.
And George gave the president an ohm pin.
Really?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Fantastic.
Adam, that's a great question. I never knew any of that.
Okay. I don't want to go through these too fast. I have a few of them, though.
Okay. Well,
let's do a recap on the score here. Andy has minus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, minus 7 for Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you're just tuning in late, see if you can guess who's been keeping score.
And minus 2 for me.
Yeah, I'm so shocked.
Well, I'm going to put the press.
You're going to spin your back, Ken, moving those goalposts back.
I didn't move any goalposts. That was the first quiz we did.
All right. Fine.
I've grown, man. I've been drinking.
Right in front of us, like Gigi.
Gigi? Well,
I'm going to put the pressure on you, Andy, for this next question.
What the hell is the Gigi reference? Are you talking about the Jackie Gleason movie?
No, Gigi, the Lerner and Lowe musical where she's grown right before our eyes. She was a little girl.
Oh, the child molestation thing with Maurice Chevalier.
Exactly.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank heaven for little girls.
Look, no one can listen to your show or meet or spend any time with you without thinking about Gigi.
Got it. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
So next question, which I'll say will put the pressure on you, Andy. Which Saturday Night Live cast member wrote a letter of apology to the Clintons after insulting daughter Chelsea in a sketch?
Wow. What a great question.
I remember the sketch. Wait, so who was in the sketch? It was a Secret Service sketch. Is that correct, when the Secret Service were guarding Chelsea?
No.
That wasn't the sketch?
No.
It was. Are you saying it was a Saturday Night Live performer or writer?
Must be a cast member.
It was a cast member.
Okay,
yes.
Cast member.
You know, I would say, because he was a gentleman and he was a mensch, and the year's work, it was Phil Hartman, would be my guess.
What a good guess, Andy.
That is a good guess. It's not the right answer, but it's...
Negative one. I can't possibly guess.
Was it Dana? Was it Mike Myers?
It was Mike Myers.
It's Mike Myers. Well, that's interesting. He's not American. Maybe that kind of weighed heavily on him, that he was insulting.
Well, and that he was also polite enough, being a Canadian, to offer an apology. It was a Wayne's World sketch, and he referred to Chelsea as, quote, a babe in development. a few seconds earlier, they made a similar reference to the Gore daughters, but I guess they were of age and Chelsea was still underage.
Oh, I see.
And after it aired and there was blowback, Lorne Michaels edited out that part of the sketch, and it has never appeared on reruns, DVD compilations, or on YouTube.
Wow, I wonder if anyone was rolling tape. I wonder if it exists anywhere.
I'm sure it's somewhere there's...
they wouldn't even... I know from experience that they will sometimes move so quickly, it won't even have aired that night on the West Coast because there's a three-hour delay, you know.
Hmm.
Sometimes they were editing things out even before California got to see.
Huh. I love it when Andy gets serious.
It gives me the creeps.
The mistake Mike Myers made, of course, was not singing Thank Heaven for Little Girls. That's what he should have done. Then they would have said, oh, that's fine.
You mean to dedicate it to Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have gone over really well.
How can you argue with that?
But when Maurice Chevalier hosted SNL, which got the lowest ratings, he did sing that song.
All right, this is probably the easiest question. So both of you are going to have to buzz.
Buzz.
Before he became president, Ronald Reagan starred in a 1951 movie with a chimpanzee. What was the name of the movie?
Bedtime for Bonzo.
That's it.
All right.
Do you want really some really trivia? I went down the rabbit hole with Bonzo.
Yeah.
There was a sequel. Bonzo Goes to College.
Was Reagan in that?
No, he refused to appear because he thought the premise was unbelievable. the premise being that Bonzo learns to read. Now, I'm going to go even deeper. The director of both movies, do you have any idea? I don't think you would.
Lubitsch.
Yeah, Sam Peckinpah wasn't available. No, the director was Fred DiCordova.
Oh, went on to produce The Tonight Show.
Right.
Huh.
Very interesting.
So that's about all the Bonzo trivia.
Didn't he meet his wife during bedtime, like Jane Wyman, right? Did he meet her on the set of Bedtime for Bonzo?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see. Okay, next question. This one's a little longer, so you have to just let me read it. At a press conference, this president said he would like to do, quote, a Jedi mind meld with his political opponents. This angered nerds everywhere because he conflated the Jedi mind trick of Star Wars with the Vulcan mind meld of Star Trek. Who was this president?
It sounds like a Bush. Oh, no, no, no. I'll bet it's Obama because only Obama would even try that kind of record.
You are right. It was Obama.
Wow. Yeah. Good one, Andy.
And what other president would even go there?
And this was the time when the White House website was accepting petitions from citizens, and a petition was immediately launched demanding that the president apologize for offending both fan bases. Those were the days when we worried about things like that.
Oh.
That would be the first frivolous petition ever suggested.
Such simple, innocent times.
Yeah.
Okay, and this, along with the Beatles one, this one I had no idea about and really kind of blew my mind. When this musician died, President Reagan ordered the U.S. Navy to give him a burial at sea without the body being cremated, something normally reserved for members of the armed forces only. Who was this musician?
And it was Reagan, you say?
Yes.
Musician who died from 81 to 89, who probably had some kind of military affiliation.
Or died in some kind of military-related sort of accident.
Reagan had to overrule the Navy because they gave him a burial at sea because it was something reserved for members of the armed forces. So he was not.
He was not a vet. But still, I think that he must have... And we know it's a he. I think he must have.
He must have entertained the troops.
Something like that. Yeah. Or just been.
So it must have been an older musician, See, you're thinking rock and roll, but I bet
no, I'm thinking country, actually. I'm thinking country.
No, I'm thinking a World War II era entertainer that or Vietnam, maybe, entertain the troops.
Yeah, like Bing Crosby or Bob
but
Hope.
But they wouldn't want a burial at sea.
Right,
they
Bob Hope is still alive. That's a tough one, huh?
I'm going to say, if I can, ha, along with my friend Dan, ha.
No, you say interesting. I say, ha.
Well, I think you'll get the same response when I tell you that the musician was Dennis Wilson.
Whoa!
Because he died at sea?
Because he did die in the water.
He did die in water, yes. Yeah, there were, apparently, I read articles from the time, and there were a lot of current service people and veterans who were extremely upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was friends with Charles Manson.
That's why I thought you would know this, Ken. I thought you would know the whole Dennis Wilson arc.
I never knew that, though. That's fascinating.
And but he was not, at the end, he was not buried at sea.
No, he was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yeah, and without being cremated, that was the hitch. Because I guess they can scatter your ashes, and maybe it's not a big deal. But you only can do it without being cremated if you're a veteran. And and Brian Wilson was also upset. He wanted Dennis to have a traditional burial, but Dennis's wife overruled him.
Wow.
You can only get buried to see if you're a veteran or if you sang backup on Little Deuce Coupe. I believe that legally.
One senior service member said, this was the biggest travesty since Carter pardoned the draft dodgers in Canada. So
fantastic.
Or if you had sex with Squeaky Fromm, you're also allowed.
Yeah, I would say that would be an issue too. Okay.
Okay, I think we're down to our last question. Is that right, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is worth 10 points. This is the super bonus round.
Okay, I'm checking to see. I think the next question's a good one.
Okay.
Which
these have all been great.
Good. I'm glad you've enjoyed it, even though your score doesn't really reflect it. But
that's true.
Which musician attended Jimmy Carter's first dinner at the White House on Inauguration Day and then slept over?
Sounds like Willie Nelson to me.
I would ask, oh my God, I was going to say Willie Nelson. Wait, Jimmy Carter.
But that's 77. So,
might have been somebody from Georgia. Might have been somebody from Georgia. Wait a minute.
Marshall Tucker Band.
Wait, I'm getting a nod. Georgia.
Charlie Daniels.
No. It might have been definitely a country singer. Maybe like Loretta Lynn. Someone like someone from Georgia. Was it a member of the band? Was it like Levon Helm?
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett? Was he from Georgia?
No, I don't know.
Wow, great question. He slept over.
Yeah.
Great question. What is the answer?
The answer is Greg Allman.
Oh!
Whoa,
another drug addict. What is it with drug addict musicians and the White House?
He was one of Carter's earliest supporters. Carter actually later said that Greg Allman and the Allman Brothers just about put me in the White House.
Wow. Incredible. Adam?
Is that when Carter said, famously said, Rosalind, make sure you watch these sheets really, really good. Wow, this has been great. I don't know what our final score was. I'm afraid to even ask.
It was -6 to -1.
Fine.
But Adam, these were great questions. Thank you for taking so much time and for giving us a quiz tonight.
No, yep. it was my pleasure. Totally.
Yeah, really fantastic. We'll edit it so I'll know every answer, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks a lot, right. Adam. Thanks to Adam from Edgewater for that great quiz. We are playing two listener quizzes tonight as Andy is out doing press for his new movie, the new Monk movie on Peacock. Up next, we have Christina from Highland Park giving us a quiz on financial matters and accounting. And Andy does mysteriously great on this one. Ken and Andy back here. We're doing another 7 second delay quiz now with listener Christina from Highland Park. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you. First time, long time. Can't believe I got through.
Oh, that means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
It does.
And I'm Chris, not being sarcastic.
Christina
We're
lives.
Not being sarcastic, are we, Ken?
Christina lives in Highland Park, where I spent my juvenile delinquency back in the 1960s and 70s.
I'm sure all the cops there know your name.
Oh, yeah. Some of the cops there actually were acid heads when I was in high school.
Yeah, the cops and the junkies. That's pretty much your constituency.
Yeah, more or less.
And welcome, Christina. And Ken, you might know more than me about what we're in for here. What is the Christina? What is the subject of this quiz? And why did you choose that subject?
So the subject of the quiz is individual income tax.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, you weren't warned in
advance? Andy has so much money, so he's got an edge on all.
Are you a tax attorney, Christina?
No, I am a CPA, a tax preparer. I focus my business on taxes and financial planning and those sorts of things. So
okay.
I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. So we'll see. I guess
it's going to go great.
I can already tell your clients are very lucky to have you. Do you have a website? Do you have your own business that you'd like to mention as we go?
I do have a website. It's taxcpanj.com.
Oh, good. Because remember, Ken, remember we had that listener, it was like 5 years ago, that had a job. Remember?
No. I have no memory of that.
He called in from L.A. He had a job.
You're making this up.
I remember it was the wrong number, but we ended up...
Okay. That makes sense. No, Christina's the first 7 second delay listener I've ever met who has a job.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right. Well, I hope both of you do, obviously, because otherwise some of these questions might be
here's a little riddle. What do you call a WFMU DJ that files his income taxes, that has to pay his income taxes every year? The answer is married.
Good one, Andy.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we have questions, and are they... Okay, oh no, I'm scared. It's a subject this is so unexpected and so random, it seems. Oh my God.
Well, you seemed like you were open to being completely surprised by a quiz on any subject, so.
I am, and just give me a little heads up, is there math involved at all?
There's actually no math involved.
Okay, we're ready to go.
I had one of those, and I rehearsed with my husband, and he was like, asked me to repeat the question about four times, and I just got rid of that question.
Oh, good. Well, thank your husband for me. So the rules are each correct answer. Ken and I buzz in. We actually say the word buzz. What's worked for us is that we wait for you to finish the question before we can buzz. I guess those are strict Jeopardy rules. And then... a correct answer is worth one. Is that right, Ken? And then an incorrect answer, we lose a point. And FYI, Christina, so far, I believe we've done about four of these, and Ken has beat me every time.
Well, I cheated the first one, so that one didn't really count.
Well, and also you're smarter than me, which seems to me to be unfair. That seems cheating to me also.
Yeah, no, it is cheating. I admit it.
Yeah. Okay, we're ready to roll.
Okay, so what do we do about questions where someone neither knows, but is it just I decide who's
that's
closest?
That's a wash, or it's up to you. You at the end of the day, you are the referee. You're the final arbiter.
Okay, I think we could figure something out.
Hey, I've never said arbiter out loud before in my life.
Cool.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah,
okay, we go.
I'm honored All to right. have witnessed that.
Yeah, okay. Question number one.
What is currently the highest federal income tax bracket percentage?
Ooh.
Buzz.
Oh, I wanted to buzz. I know the answer, I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Andy.
37.5. No, wait, hold on. Okay, if it's wrong, just say wrong, and then Ken can buzz in if he wants.
Wrong.
Or, okay, wrong. If you, okay, Ken, you can either buzz in. If Christina thinks I'm close enough to get half a point,
well, I guess we're going to go with whoever's closer. So I'm going to buzz in and say 31.
All right. Well, Andy would get the closer. It's 37.
Oh,
wait, what did I say?
You said 37.5.
No. When I added the 0.5, that was a joke. That was me being funny. You guys don't get my humor. It's very subtle. It's very
I'm going to give it to you anyway, so save your arguing for another one.
Andy takes a two-point lead.
I was so close that even Ken would agree I should get something.
Yeah, no, you won. You won fair and square, Andy.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
And I should thank, if I can digress for a second, I should thank my friend Tony Shalhoub for allowing me to know that answer.
How did he let you know that?
Because he helped create a successful TV show for me.
Oh, I see. So you're in that top bracket.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying thanks to Tony Shalhoub, I had a rough idea.
I see. Thanks to Tony Shalhoub and Monk, you are so incredibly wealthy that you're paying 37%.
I'm not saying that. I'm not confirming that. I should have shut up. What's wrong with me?
Well, Andy, you're on your way to getting a participation trophy today. Keep it up.
Here we go. Question number two.
If you make too much money to directly contribute to a Roth IRA, it may be a good strategy to indirectly contribute to a Roth by putting the money into a traditional IRA first, then converting the contribution to a Roth the same week. What is this commonly referred to as?
Buzz.
Ken?
Money laundering.
Okay, now this is where a little strategy comes in. I don't know the answer, so I'm going to pat. Okay, wait, hold on. Maybe I do know the answer.
Wow.
I don't know the answer because I'm not eligible for a Roth IRA. Oh, I'm just not.
Because you're too damn wealthy. Is that the reason?
I'm not saying why I'm not eligible, but.
Well, that's the whole point of the question. This assumes someone's not eligible.
Right, exactly. But even so, Christina, I'm sorry. The technique you're referring to, I don't know what it's called, but that doesn't apply to everyone.
You're right about that. Well, I said you're correct.
No, I actually looked into it. I don't know what the term is. What is I will pass. What is the term?
It's called a backdoor Roth.
Right.
Ooh.
That's right. It's called a backdoor Roth. Okay, I'm ready. I'm Buzz. I'm ready with my guess.
Well, Christina
backdoor Roth.
Christina just told you that.
All right. Well.
Oh my God! Listen to Ken. Yeah. Oh my! What a stickler! You're impossible. Okay.
Andy's now 3 points ahead. I have -2. Andy has +1.
Oh my God! This could be the quiz.
Yeah.
This could be my big comeback. I'm very excited. Now I have to shift strategy and protect my lead. Okay, here we go.
Okay. If you paid excess Social Security tax in 2023 due to having two or more jobs, you will receive a refund of excess Social Security tax on your 2023 tax return. This would tie to the Social Security yearly wage tax limit. What's the 2023 yearly wage tax limit? The most you could pay Social Security tax on earned income. I don't expect an exact answer.
Okay, I mean, I guess I can try. I can get within maybe 10% of it. It's lower than you'd think. Am I right about that? It's lower than you'd
think. No, you can't ask her leading questions like
okay,
that.
Okay. I'm gonna get in 2023. It might have gone up recently. I don't know how. Okay, I'm gonna guess 80. I'm going to get $75,000.
I don't consider that a good answer.
I'm going to pass.
I was joking.
Andy gets a -1.
Wait, is it lower than that? Okay, we're passing, but we need to know. I got to know.
Ken, do you want to take a guess?
Nope, I'm passing.
Ken, just guess lower. Take a shot. This is a gift from God.
I'll take the
You'll pass.
I'll take the I'll take the point because you got a negative one, so I'm guaranteed.
Wait, is it south of 75 or north of 75? Okay, we're passing. It's I've lost the point. What is the answer?
It's 160,200.
Wow, it's a good thing I didn't guess because I would have guessed lower.
Yeah. Damn it!
And then you would have won.
That's significant. Okay, 160. Okay, it's much more than I thought. Okay, interesting. I would have thought it's just north of the average in United States income. Okay.
These are great questions, Christina. And Andy, I'm so incredibly impressed by your level of knowledge in this field.
I have none. I don't know. I haven't answered any right on the dot.
But you're doing great, man. You're out there swinging way more than I am.
Because I spend a lot of my free time complaining about taxes.
All right. See, I don't ever complain about taxes.
I know you don't. I know you get scared when you actually meet a taxpayer.
Oh, yeah, that's very frightening.
I know.
Yeah.
You recoil.
No, that's why we cater to the un and underemployed.
Oh, I know.
Just to avoid
I've heard your station, Ken.
Just to avoid the whole tax issue. Completely. That's why we're tax exempt also. WFMU is tax exempt. We're just trying to skirt the issue every way we can.
Yeah. You know what? Nothing to do. Nothing to do with that federal government. All right, Christina, these are great. Boy, I can tell that you know what you're doing. What does your husband do for a living?
He's in investment planning.
You guys
We're the life of the party, as you can imagine.
It must be rolling in money.
Not really.
Christina, you have a great radio voice, too. You really should do a radio tax show. You have a great Jersey accent. You said
You grew up
in Bayonne, you said?
I was born in Bayonne. My parents are, my father's side of the family, everyone's from Bayonne. So there were a lot of very thick accents.
Oh, I see. Oh, and you grew up in Woodbridge.
Yes.
That's right. There was that great record store in Woodbridge in the strip mall there. What the hell was that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Scotty.
Vintage vinyl.
Yeah, vintage vinyl. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round four.
Okay. Name four U.S. states with no or very limited individual income tax collection systems. There's nine of them. Basically nine.
Andy's buzzing.
I thought you were going to ask about state income tax. So this is you're asking about federal income tax.
No. This one's a state question. Name four states.
Buzz.
Wow, Andy, you got to name four of them.
Florida, Texas. New Hampshire. Give me that one.
Yeah. Well,
Nevada.
You got it.
Wow. Yeah. Damn, Andy. Yeah.
Well, come on. Who wouldn't know those? What adult doesn't want to live in those states?
I could only think of two of those. I was thinking, thinking New Hampshire and Texas.
Well, no, every taxpayer in America knows that list.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Meyer Lansky accounts for Nevada and Florida. And there you go.
I bet that's true. Yeah, that is true. No, every March of every year, I look at the map. I turn to my wife.
Andy's still winning. It looks like Andy's got plus one, and I have negative two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the wastrels versus the taxpayers, if you're just joining us.
Is that the first time you've ever used the word wastrel?
Yes! Yes!
Man!
I've never said the word wastrel. Wait, I don't even know if I used it correctly.
Neither do I. I'm not quite sure what it means.
Hold on. Wait, I got to look that up.
That's really funny because there's a word that I used today for the first time ever, and it's also a financial term. I was writing an email, and I used the word tranche.
Oh, that's a great word.
With an E at the end. Yeah.
Hey, a waste. Oh, what? Just remind me, what does trench mean?
A trench is like a bucket of money.
Wow, that's a great word.
Yeah.
Did you know that word, Christina?
I've heard the word before, but I wouldn't have passed the quiz.
And wastrel, wastrel, is a good for nothing person.
Or people.
Yeah. Like, we could rename our show the Wastrel Comedy Hour. Okay, Christina, this is great. We're doing this. I'm loving this. Okay, this is music for wastrels. Come on, that's a great word. Okay, here we go.
A married couple are selling their principal residence and file a joint return. How much of their gain can be excluded from income tax? And how long do they need to have owned and lived in that home? Assume no special circumstances.
So you're assuming that they're under, there's an age thing here too, right? Like over 65?
No, just, you could disregard that. Assume
okay, no. Buzz. Oh, I might not get this exactly. And I think it changes every once in a while. Buzz.
Okay.
Damn, Andy.
$500,000.
And the second part of the question, how long?
Oh, come on, sweetheart. Wait, what is the second part of the question?
How long do they have to have lived and owned the home?
Sweetheart, $500,000, 2 years.
You got it.
There oh, my it. God.
He's never met an adult in his life.
Andy, you're blowing me away here.
But Ken, the fact that you're shocked by this, says more about you than it does about me. Believe me.
I actually
Believe
thought.
Believe me, we're learning a lot about you.
Well, I actually thought I knew a little bit about taxes, but
yeah,
apparently.
No, this is.
Yeah, not
no,
at all.
This is great. Okay. Well, I'm surprising myself, to be honest.
Yeah, you're 4 points ahead. This is going to be the first quiz that you get your participation trophy.
You're so funny. You are so funny.
And right. You have a chance with the next one.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Which of the following tax-deductible donations to WFMU is likely valued at exactly $500? A, you donate $500 and get 10 DJ premiums. B, you disperse $500 to WFMU from the donor-advised fund that you set up last year. C, you donate stock with a market value of $500 that you paid only $150 for. And D, you donate some usable condition speakers and microphones that you paid $500 for.
Buzz! Buzz, baby.
Got it.
B. Oh, don't tell me I got it wrong. I got
you
B.
Got it. That one was probably a little tricky.
Oh, my God. I got it wrong?
You didn't
yeah.
Technically, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I wonder why FMU is going down the toilet financially. I wonder why.
But donor advice.
Who's in charge of that?
But man? Here's the thing. B was that you donate $500 through a donor advised funds, and most donor advised funds don't allow you to get any DJ premiums or other gifts in exchange.
Let's just... You want to see if Andy has a guess, and then I'll
yeah.
explain.
Oh, this is so much fun! It's like a navigation quiz, and Ken is the captain of the Titanic. This is so much fun for me to hear. No, I would not even presume to know the answer to that, but I am curious.
So the answer is C. You donate stock with a market value of $500. The reason why it's not B is because you get the donation to the fund when you put the money in the fund, not when you disperse money from the fund.
Ah, it's like a trick question.
Yeah.
Ken, if you don't hire this woman, you're out of your mind. If you don't put this woman on the payroll.
It's on the website, actually, for WFMU about the donating stock.
Oh, yeah, of course. I wrote that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a trick one, I guess.
Yeah.
I just recently dealt with a donor advised fund where we got the money and then the donor warned me, be sure not to send me anything. Don't even send me a t-shirt because I want to, the donor advised fund disallows that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was a hard one. I apologize.
That's
it's
okay.
Technically, you, You get the donation when you
don't apologize. Apologize. It was very revealing.
Revealing.
I don't know if Ken's visited the FMU website sober in a while.
Oh, sober all the time. Straight, yeah. Never.
I believe you have a separate website for straight edge people.
We kind of have to. Yeah. All right, we're doing taxes with Christina. What would you call your radio show, Christina? Tax Time with Christina?
I'd probably try to think of something.
Something better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe our tax-paying listener in California will tune in.
Oh, he doesn't listen anymore. He was an accident. Yeah, his parents never even meant to give birth to him. I feel bad for him, but that's just the way it is. Okay, Christina, round seven.
How much state and local tax, aka SALT, can a married couple filing a joint return deduct on Schedule A?
Oh.
Wait, you're looking for the amount?
Yeah, this is
You're looking for the percentage or the
dollar amount. This has been in the news, not maybe recently, but
wait, do you mean there's a ceiling on what you can deduct?
Yes.
Holy mo! Okay, it's probably, well, I learned my lesson from the previous answer. It's probably more than I'm thinking. There's a ceiling on what you can deduct from the. I'll buzz and I hope I'm close. Oh, I bet, you know what? I bet it's close to that other number. Okay, I'm going to bet $165,000. I'm going to say, guess.
No.
Oh, it's not even close.
Not even close, Andy.
Okay, I'm off base. Okay, Ken, I guess, is not guessing.
I'm not guessing, yeah.
It's $10,000.
Wait.
State and local tax. Is that what it was? SALT stands for state and local tax?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can only...
I didn't follow the question exactly. Oh, okay. And that's different than your property taxes that have a very lower, a much lower ceiling in New Jersey, right?
No, that's...
Is that the number?
They're sort of the same thing.
Oh, so that's the controversial number that local politicians are struggling with.
Yes.
Oh, of course I knew that. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yes.
So we only have about 3 minutes left. Christina, do you have any questions about the martingale method? Because Andy's a gambling addict and most of his...
Well, it's not really... My system is not technically gambling because I'm sort of guaranteed a positive result.
I have a fun one, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we do two last questions and let's make them worth 5 points each to give my friend Ken a chance.
Okay. What medical expense would be most likely allowed under IRS audit? Most likely. A, the cost associated with having an emotional support kitten that is TSA approved to fly on board the main cabin. B, removal of lead-based paint from your home so your kid stops eating dangerous paint and doesn't get lead poisoning again.
Oh, like pica.
C, marijuana gummy bears prescribed by a doctor for your anxiety and legal in your state. And D, electrolysis on your arms to improve eczema flare-ups.
Buzz.
Go ahead.
C, the marijuana one.
Okay, hold on, wait. Don't know. The answer is lead paint.
The answer is lead paint because marijuana is not legal federally.
Of course. No, I was just doing my job as a marijuana booster. I knew I was wrong.
No, yeah, Ken was fantasizing. He wasn't answering. Okay, wow. I'm going to take the 5 points.
Oh, that's right. You get five for that. Jeez. Yeah.
I'll take it. I think I'll take it. Yeah. Nice. I finally am winning one of these.
Yeah.
Okay. And our last question.
It makes perfect sense that Andy's so outstanding because A, he's a gambling addict, and two, he's incredibly cheap. So this is just like the perfect topic for him.
That's, there's some truth there.
All right, I'm looking for a right answer on this one. As soon as your child is this age, they must make less than about $4,700 for you to claim them as a dependent, even if they are on your health insurance, are in college, live under your roof, rent-free, etc. At what age do they basically have to make nothing for you to claim them?
Buzz.
Go ahead.
21?
Buzz. I'm gonna say it's younger. It's younger. It's like 17.
So the correct answer is actually 24. When they're under 24, if they're in college, you can still get away with claiming them. Once they're 24, the income rules mostly take over.
Oh, I reckon I win because I got closer.
Yes, we'll give you that. And you know what, Ken? I'll even say that last question retroactively was worth 1,000 points.
I don't need your patronage, Andy.
No, that's my pity.
I don't need your pity point massaging. Well, Christina, that was a great quiz. Thank you.
That really was.
Thank you.
And I'll say it again. I don't know if I said it on the air, but your clients are lucky to have you.
We should have Christina on 7 Second Delay at tax time.
That would be amazing.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
I could use a break from reality.
Yeah, we should. The craziest time of the year for you, I guess.
Definitely.
And you can get more information about Christina's services at taxcpanj.com.
That's right.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank
you.
We'll see you at White Rose System.
You see ya. Nice to meet you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to tonight's quizmasters, Adam from Edgewater and Christina from Highland Park. Next week, we will bring you two more new quizzes from 7 Second Delay listeners. Andy returns for live shows the first Wednesday after the new year. And thank you, as always, to Jeremiah. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned next for Weekly World Blues with Matt Fivak.
Of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A. We'll be right back.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Well, I done talked and I talked, talk didn't do no good. Yes, it's all your fault, done the thing you should. But if I lose my life, little girl, on the kind of you, send my soul to the devil, 'cause you know my love is true. Well, I can stand right here, look in my baby's door, where she used to live. She don't live there no more. I know you don't want me, tell by the way you do. Soon as I'm turning, I'll pull a little you. But if I lose my life, little girl, on the kind of you, send my soul to the devil, 'cause you know my love is true. You know summertime is good, baby's almost here. Then I love you, you don't feel my care. But I'm telling you, baby, telling you to your face, if you don't need me, on your merry way. But if I lose my life, little girl, only kind of you, send my soul to the devil, 'cause you know my love is true. Well, I love my little woman, love her for myself. Nobody that wanna with no one else. But if I lose my life, little girl, only kind of you, send my soul to the devil, 'cause you know my love is true. Yeah.